I stand on faith that God has given me, that even if he doesn't meet with me, I'm praying that he has heard my mother's words, my brother's words, and my words, and my family's words. I'm just asking him to hear from God. This is not a political decision. This is a moral decision.
That was Antoinette Jones, sister of Julius Jones, speaking with the Oklahoman earlier this week. Now, she was talking about Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt's pending decision over whether to commute her brother's death sentence. Her brother's execution is scheduled for Thursday. Governor Stitt has delayed his decision for 2 weeks. Now, it follows a vote earlier this month by the Oklahoma Pardon and Parole Board, which recommended that Jones's sentence be commuted to life in prison with the possibility of parole. As Antoinette mentioned, the governor has not met with Jones's family ahead of the scheduled execution. Julius Jones has always maintained his innocence of the 1999 murder of businessman Paul Howell. And despite a wealth of evidence supporting his claim, he is moving closer each hour to being executed by the state of Oklahoma. Kelly Masters is an attorney based in Oklahoma, and she served as part of Julius Jones's legal delegation at his commutation hearing in September. Was actually skeptical of Jones's innocence until she took a closer look at the evidence. Kelly, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Melissa.
So talk to me about your skepticism about the Jones case.
Well, I've been an attorney in Oklahoma for 21 years. I have never necessarily been anti-death penalty. I've always been very much a law and order person who believes that we have the best justice system on the planet in this country. And I essentially always believed that Oklahoma basically got it right. Although there have certainly been exonerations over the years, I wanted to believe that this case was heard by a jury. It was heard by reviewed by multiple appellate judges. And at the end of the day, the conviction remained. And it sounded like a horrific case, just reading about the details of the murder, with basically a carjacking gone wrong and a father dying in front of his sister and his two children. And it was just a devastating case. And I was contacted initially to write a letter on behalf of Julius Jones to our governor, Governor Stitt. And initially I almost declined, thinking, well, you know, why should I get involved in something like this? It's already been tried and appealed, and here we are. But something in me really compelled me to take a closer look. So I started digging into the facts of the case. I started reviewing every transcript, every piece of evidence. And I think the thing that really opened my eyes was at trial when the prosecution rested their case, the defense attorneys, who were young public defenders at the time, just simply stood up and said, the defense rests. And there was so much information that the jury never heard and never got to consider. And that's when I knew I really, really needed to dig in and know more. And I wanted to even meet Julius before I wrote a letter. And then I decided I couldn't just write a letter. I wanted to really be an advocate and do all I could to make sure Oklahoma got this right.
I want to begin by acknowledging what you said about Mr. Howell, who was killed, that the facts of that case are horrifying, and that his family, as his survivors, have every right to feel desperately sad and angry that that he was taken from them. And as we acknowledge that reality, also the realities that you are offering to us about the possibility that there could be a miscarriage of justice in the case of Julius Jones. I'm wondering, as you have watched this move forward, and we've only, we have not followed the case for as long as you have, obviously, but we have been following it for a few months. And I have to say, I'm surprised to find us here the day before the execution is set to take place, given that there have been two recommendations by the Oklahoma Pardon and Parole Board that would at least be staying the execution, right? It doesn't mean that Mr. Jones would be going home, but it would be leaving open possibilities.
Exactly. And I was part of the delegation that spoke on Mr. Jones' behalf in September, and it was a 3-1 vote by the Pardon and Parole Board, and the board is tasked with reviewing all the evidence, all the circumstances of the conviction, looking at things that the jury didn't see, including confessions by Christopher Jordan, the co-defendant, that he actually was the one that murdered Paul Howell and had pinned it on Julius and had admitted even that he planted the murder weapon in Julius's house. None of that was heard by the jury. The Pardon and Parole Board looked at everything objectively to make sure that we're getting it right. And not just at the commutation hearing, but also last month at the clemency hearing, which is an even more robust hearing, they voted the same way. They voted, and now that they came down on the side of innocence, which is personally where I've landed after looking at everything objectively, they just expressed there are so many doubts in this case that there's no way we should move forward with execution. This really, of all circumstances where you look to commute a sentence, this would be one of them. Honestly, I had held out hope because of those two strong recommendations to the governor by his appointed Pardon and Parole Board. And yet at this hour, I'm very concerned that we are marching towards execution.
I want to be as generous and fair as I can with the choice that the governor is making here. Can you help us in two ways? One, what are the choices that the governor has, right? So what things might the governor be able to do here? Can he stay the execution, but, you know, leave for more trial? Does he have to actually, absolutely absolve Mr. Jones? Sort of, I'm wondering what his options are. And then also what you think he's using as criteria for making the decision.
So first of all, the process in Oklahoma is this. Once all of the appeals have run, which they have in this case, they did years ago, and I might point out that on appeal, appellate courts are limited to the record created and preserved at trial, and the bar for reversal is very high. And so it sadly, even with all the evidence in this case of Julius's innocence, it does not surprise me that the limited record never got a fair review. That's what the Pardon and Parole Board is in place to do, to actually make sure and ensure that we don't make mistakes. And so the board has voted twice in favor of once in favor of commutation, meaning a lesser sentence, and they recommended life with a possibility of parole. The second hearing, they recommended clemency, and also made the same recommendation, meaning the recommendation to the governor was to spare Julius's life and commute his sentence to something lesser. So the governor can stay the execution. He can actually ask for a reprieve, meaning the execution is simply delayed to give him more time to review the case. He could do that. He could accept the Pardon and Parole Board's recommendation of life with a possibility of parole. And he has followed the board's recommendation in the vast majority of cases that they've recommended clemency in. He could choose to commute to life without parole. He could choose to commute to life with time served and you're released for time served. Julius could walk out immediately, or he could be up for parole in a matter of months or years, or he could be just sent to prison for life. Or the decision that I think the governor is weighing on or leaning towards is just allowing the execution to proceed according to the judgment entered against him. I wish I could say what the governor is thinking in this case. It boggles my mind that after the two strong recommendations and all of the hearings that have been held, that he would actually go against that and allow the execution to proceed with such doubt remaining in this case. I wish I knew. I really, truly wish I knew what the governor was thinking in rejecting this, potentially rejecting this recommendation.
I guess we will all soon learn. Kelly Masters, attorney based in Oklahoma. Our thoughts are with you, with the families of both Mr. Howell and Mr. Jones over
yes,
the course
thank
of
you.
The next 24 hours. Thank you.
Thank you.
Because we think of The Takeaway as a conversation, and you're part of our community. I just want to take a moment and be very honest with you. Now, we've been covering the case of Julius Jones for months here on the show, and we've talked with members of his family and with some of the advocates who've been fighting for Julius's life. We have not talked with any family members of Paul Howell, the man that Jones is convicted of killing. And I can imagine as this execution is coming closer that they have a variety of difficult feelings. I also want to point out that I'm not a lawyer and that I have not reviewed all the details, all the documents of this long and complicated case. And so I do not know for certain if Julius Jones is guilty of the crime for which he is set to be killed tomorrow. I don't. Here's what I do know. I know the district attorney who charged and convicted Julius Jones has had a full third of his cases overturned due to prosecutorial misconduct. I do know that to date, 10 people who were sentenced to die in murder cases in Oklahoma have been exonerated. And I do know that Oklahoma City police officers have erected barricades around the governor's mansion because Governor Kevin Stitt has still refused to act to stop this execution. And that's despite the fact that the Parole and Probation Board in the past several months has recommended both commutation and clemency. So let me be clear. I am not sure that Julius Jones is innocent. But far more important, the state of Oklahoma is not certain that Julius Jones is guilty. Now, back in October, as we grappled with the reality of the Jones case, the takeaway, we took a deep dive into the practices of the death penalty in this country. And look, across our long history, at different points, we've had various protocols of death. We've used public hangings, firing squads, gas chambers, the electric chair. All, at various points, have been legal methods of execution. But since 1977, nearly 90% of all executions have used lethal injections. That's how Julius Jones is set to be killed tomorrow. And for years, lethal injections have been presented as a more humane alternative to previous methods of execution. But during our deep dive, we talked to Sam Spital of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, and he helped us to understand that lethal injections are not a humane alternative.
In fact, as Justice Sotomayor has noted in a number of dissenting opinions, there's powerful evidence that lethal injection in many cases risks essentially torturing someone to death, but they are, because of the paralytic effects of one of the drugs, unable to in any way show what's happening to them. So it is really this ultimate form of torture that no one else can see. So it appears to others that this is somehow an anesthetic, almost medical event, and it looks peaceful when in fact the person who is being executed is being tortured to death. And then you have very serious risks about maladministration of drugs. Oftentimes the people involved in executions do not have proper training. So we've seen a number of indisputably botched executions. And where it's clear that the person who was executed was tortured to death. The method remains, dare I say, popular in many places because it creates this false sense of somehow the state is not doing what it's actually doing, which is taking a human life. And taking a human life, there's no way, however it appears, to make what is actually happening anesthetic or painless process.
And so here we are, the day before a man we are not sure is guilty is sentenced to die by a method that we know is not humane. This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.